It's taken almost since January to settle in to the retirement mentality. And so it's with a renewed passion that I look at the Word of God and with renewed eyes. And this passage of Scripture has become very, very precious to me over the years. And so, but I see it a little bit differently. And I used to see it through the eyes of the repentant son. I used to see it through his eyes. And I used to look in judgment at the second son because I thought he was terrible. He kept all this stuff in. All the stuff that the other son had probably too, but he kept it all in until it showed itself. But after looking at it and reading it and going over it, there's a third character in here that we sometimes forget, and that's the Father, the Heavenly Father. Now, I'm not sure maybe I better not go there. Yeah, might as well. It says in all the books that I read that this was a parable. And I'm not sure if it is. This may have been a case of them knowing the individuals involved. And if so, it would have been even more poignant. But as you come to the last character in the story, you realize that there are three, not two. And you realize that the Father in this passage of Scripture is remarkable. You know, I'm interested in Old Testament and New Testament history and literature of that time. It's a long time ago. And yet, when you read this, it is as if the writer wrote it just for us. And I cannot help but think that is another attestation to the fact that God is God. And as you read the Bible, you come across story after story after story after story, and they all ring true, all of them, which is truly remarkable. There's you know, you go to some of that old literature of the first century and even before that, and you find stories that are just, they just kind of just don't make sense. You know, you read them in other books that claim to be inspired. But when you come to the Bible, you come to plain and simple stories that make sense, that ring true, because they are true. The first thing we notice about this man, the Father, as we look at a father's heart, we see a very wise man with a wise heart. Verse 12 says he has an open mind, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me of the portion of goods that fall to me." And he divided unto him his living. Simple request. Son comes, says, "I want what's mine now. I don't want to wait another 5 years, another 10 years, another 15 years, however old the father might have been." He says, "I want it now." And the father, being wise, has an open mind. Wisdom, it is said, is taking spiritual knowledge and applying it. And this father does that. His son had a right to ask, even early, although it was unusual, it was not uncommon. And the father keeps an open mind. The second thing you notice about verse 12 is he has an open hand. He actually acquiesces to the request of his son, he says, okay, I'll give you what you deserve. I'll give you what is rightfully yours. And so he has an open hand, he has an open mind, but he also has an open heart. Verse 20, later on, says he arose and came to his father. But when his father was yet a great way, but when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He had open eyes. Someone said, be alert because the world needs more alerts. I don't know if that's true. But this was a father that was alert. This was a father that cared about his son, and he cared about his other son too, because it says in verse 12 that he gave unto them his living. He gave to both sons. Only one of them requested it. He could have kept 2/3 of it for himself. But he gives 2/3 to the older son, 1/3 to the younger son. And he blesses him. That's a man of wisdom. It turned out to break his heart. And those of you who've had children know that getting a broken heart isn't that hard when you have children, is it? They're nice when they're that size. As they get older, the heartbreaks get greater. And so it was with these fellows. It must have broken the father's heart to see both of his sons take the reward that was rightfully theirs. But he was very wise to do it because it proved to be fruitful. Second of all, he demonstrates a broken heart. We see in verses 12 to 17, we already read them, so I won't read them again, but we see this son's open rebellion. I mean, he gets as far away from his dad as humanly possible. It's out of sight, out of mind, so that he could do whatever it was he wanted to do. And the Bible says he wasted his life in riotous living. And as such, he eventually lost it all. I don't know how long that took. We don't know the details. We don't know how much he took. We know he took 1/3 of what was rightfully his. But after a while, it started to get less and less and less. We don't know if he was married, if he had a wife and children. We don't know what happened. We don't know anything except that he lost it in a far, far country, and he wasted it with riotous living. And he looked around one day and he said, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. I don't think his family was with him anymore, if he had a family. Everything was gone, and so he joins himself to the pigs. And he goes and he does the one thing a Jewish boy would never do, and that's work with the hogs. They were unclean animals. It was a horrendous job. It was looked down upon in society. And so he had fallen about as far as you could fall as a son. And he's now wasting his substance in riotous living. He's wasting his substance with the pigs. And I like verse 16. It says he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. There is nobody left. Nobody left to care for him. Nobody left to help him. No one left to give him wisdom. He was in a far country. He was alone. And so he looks around, and he finally comes to his senses. And he goes to his father. That's the discouragement of one son's open rebellion. But this father had another problem too. And that was the disillusionment of one son's secret resentment. Look, if you will, with me at verse 28. Speaking of the younger son, it says, or the older son, it says, and he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and entreated him. Isn't that like our Father? He seeks us, doesn't he? He always does. He sought his first son that took off, and he seeks the second son as well. And he answering him said, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might marry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son, your son, doesn't call him my brother, does he? He said, as soon as this son of yours comes home, then you give him a feast. And so there's the disillusionment of one son's secret resentment. He resented that son. He resented the fact that he came early and got his inheritance, even though he too got his inheritance. He resented the fact that he caused his father's pain. He resented the fact that his father never once offered him a lamb and a sacrifice. And so we see the father has a wise heart, but he also carries with him a broken heart. And I don't think that there's any of us who have been parents for any length of time that don't know that kind of pain. When your child, your own child, breaks your heart. And you know that what he's doing is wrong. But you let him go. And then thirdly, this is a father with a forgiving heart. Not only is it broken, but it also has this amazing ability to forgive immediately when it's necessary. Notice his outstretched arms, verse 20. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. When he was still far away off, when he might not have been recognizable to anybody else, but the father recognized that walk. He might have been all hunched over because of the hard labor he had endured, but the father knew that walk. And more than that walk, he knew what was behind that walk. Just like our Heavenly Father, who notices with outstretched arms, forgiveness involves not holding it over. Forgiveness sometimes means letting it go, too. And this Father genuinely demonstrates real forgiveness to his son. Before the son even asked for it, his father was forgiving him. When he was yet a great way off. And look at the outpoured heart in verse 28. We read it once. He was angry. He would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. He knew that son needed forgiveness as well. And he came out. He recognized immediately there was a problem, and he comes out. That kind of forgiveness, that forgiving heart, always leads to rejoicing. I think that's one of the things that's the most exciting about the church. We don't always know what the history is of people who come in. We think we do, but we don't always know. And to watch those individuals come in and to watch a young person give his life to Christ at Bible school, or to see an older person come forward in a service in brokenness and repentance, that's something that ought to warm us. That's something that ought to cheer our hearts. That's something that ought to remind us that that's what we are. You know, none of us are super saints. None of us carry a pedigree. We come, you know, there's not too many songs that you say should be scripture. But just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. I know we can't end the scripture. I know that. But in my Bible, which has lots of things that aren't scripture, that's one thing I'd add. That's how we come, just like we are. And that's what these fellows had to get to. The sad part is one of them does it. It broke him completely. Again, we don't know the time frame. We don't know how long it took for him to lose everything, but he loses it all. And he comes broken to his father. And he says, Father, I've sinned. Notice what he says. He says, I've sinned against you and against heaven. He's smart. A smart man. It's an evidence that the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to his heart. He realizes he not only has sinned against his father, he has sinned against God. And then his father forgives him. And he says, no. Here's a ring. Take the ring. Here's a cloak. Take the cloak. You're a son. You're not a servant. You will not be a servant. You will be my son. What a beautiful picture of what God does for us. And then there's the other son. He comes to his father and he complains. I can't get over the way he phrases it. This your son, not my brother. Reveals a hatred that goes very, very, very deep. And it's probably been in his heart for a long, long, long time. He's unrepentant. He's not broken. He's disillusioned. But the father still loves him. And the father says, Son, verse 31, you are ever with me, and all that I have is thine. That's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? All that I have is thine. It was necessary or meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother, he wouldn't call him his brother, but his father did. He was dead, and he is now alive again. He was lost, and he was found. And so we see a wise heart, a broken heart, a forgiving heart, and finally, as we've just read, a rejoicing heart. You see, the Father loves it when we are broken in his presence, because it's then that he can use us. It's then that he can remake us. There's a joy of the young son that repented. God's grace, God's mercy, God's repentance, redemption, restoration, all of that takes place in a moment. In a moment. You ever get into a situation where you think there's just so much wrong, I just can't get out of this? So many mistakes were made. But God fixes it in a moment. It's an amazing truth. There's a joy of attestation, a joy of affirmation, because stability is born in storm, isn't it? This young lad that did come back, the other one didn't. But the young man that came back and was restored to a place of prominence, I don't think ever forgot the lesson that he learned. He knew the joy of being a part of his family. You see, he realized it. He had to think to himself, you know, I messed up pretty good. And yet my father made it right in a moment, in just a few seconds. Everything was made right. And then finally, the joy of acceptance. I am his and he is mine. So there is a rejoicing such as they had not seen before as a family. They had never experienced anything like this. Was it painful? Extremely painful. Was it hard for this dad? It was extremely hard for this dad. But he's a picture of our Heavenly Father. He meets us where we are, when we are in our need, when our heart is repentant, and he restores us to a place of honor, a place of grace. What an amazing God that we serve, isn't it? To think that he could take you and I, who have failed miserably, and put us back together and say, okay, now you can serve me. Now you can do this. Now you can do that. Now you can do this. He's like that, you know. And you know the amazing thing about this story? Is it still the same today? It doesn't change. God is still in the business of taking cast-offs, know-nothings. That's me. I qualify. That's his specialty. He takes us and he restores, he renews, and he reuses broken vessels to meet with other broken vessels. Now, I did not look to see what we're singing, what we're closing with. What are we closing with? Okay. Behold the Lamb. Let's stand together, shall we? And we remain standing and we'll close in a word of prayer.